We're live in Arizona, out in Glendale, White Sox spring training. Sam Panionovich with you on 720 WGN. Done a lot of interviews in this city, in Chicago, and a lot of special athletes, but this interview is very special for me. My brother Adam is pitching in the White Sox organization, hoping to climb the ladder in professional baseball. I guess let's start right there. What was it like to not only get a call to come play pro ball this spring, but to do it for a team that you grew up loving?
It's one thing to play baseball at the professional level, but it's another thing to be able to play for an organization and a team that you grew up idolizing. It's a team that was all over my room growing up, from wallpapers to signed baseballs to pennants to clothes, pants, socks, shorts, everything. Everything I had was White Sox growing up, and you and I and Dad and Mom all grew up White Sox fans, so it's surreal being able to live that dream and play for the team you grew up idolizing.
When people ask me about how you're doing, and family and friends are always checking in and following you, I always tell the story about when we were kids, and you always play with the older guys. You know, I'm 2 years older than you in baseball. We'd all play at the park. Mostly all my friends, and then, you know, there's Adam, and, you know, you'd play center field or right field and bat last, but you kept coming out, and I think you gained a lot of people's respect back when we were little. You're going farther. You are farther than any of us have ever gone, and but that's the way I tell it, because I like to take a little bit of credit.
I'd be lying if I said that didn't make me some of the person that I am today, most of the person I am today. Growing up, playing Little League, playing high school ball, playing college ball, I can honestly say I was always somewhat of an underdog, and that kind of made me into the player I was. From catching to pitching, let's go back to, like you said, back in the playground, I was always picked last, but I love that. I love that. I love being overlooked, because that gave me a little extra chip on my shoulder, and that took myself and my game into high school and college, where I was never very highly touted, never a high prospect going to the next level, and that gave me that extra drive, because I wanted to prove people wrong.
It's been such a great journey, though, special to watch up close from Mount Carmel High School, University of St. Francis. You've got the most wins in school history, the most strikeouts as a Saint. But I think what's most telling about you as a player is what guys say about your ability to lead even when you're not on the mound. You do it on the mound when your team needs a win, but you also are first to pick somebody up if they have a bad at-bat or a bad day. Why are you wired that way?
Well, it kind of all relates back to, again, growing up and role models. And I'd like to think that I was a good leader at Mount Carmel. I don't think I was the leader I was in high school as I was in college. The very wise Gordy Gillespie once told me that to be a good leader, you had to be a good follower first. And I think there's a difference between being a silent leader and a vocal leader, and I firmly believe that you have to be the silent leader first, to be able to lead by example and show people that there's a right way to go about things, and there is a time and a place to chirp up and to get on somebody, but I'm again firm believer in being able to lead by example and show your teammates how to properly go about playing baseball the right way, and that also translates into real life situations.
You brought him up, Gordy Gillespie, Joliet legend, one of the winningest coaches in the history of American sports at the high school and college level. Great role model. You only had to spend a little bit of time with him to understand how special he was.
Yeah, it was 2 years. 2 years really was all it took. That's all I had with him. Like you said, he's no longer with us. But yeah, I have millions of stories, but I know we talked about this the other day, and it's a story that sticks out. I have his initials written on my hat, GG, and I also have a term that he coined, coaching as many years as he has, was to be able to hit a gnat's ass with the fastball. And some people might say, well, what does that mean? And He always said that if you can't hit a gnat's ass with your fastball, there's no way you can be able to pitch at the next level, no matter what level you are at. And giving me that mentality of being able to locate, and then locate again. And it gave me that extra drive when I play catch, if it's simply playing catch or long toss, or if it's throwing a light bullpen, or if it's in a live game, no matter what the situation is, being able to locate your stuff. I was never one that had overpowering stuff. But I strongly believe in being able to hit a gnat's ass with the fastball.
720 WGN, Sam Panionovich with my brother Adam Panionovich as he tries to get a roster spot with the Chicago White Sox organization. How many pitches does it take you to strike me out?
Two.
Only two. There are three strikes and a strikeout.
That's correct. It'll take me two.
Which ones?
Fastball in, changeup away.
I can't hit it no matter where it is, no matter what it is. Let's talk about you in high school, because you were a guy, and you'll admit this, first one to admit this, I don't think you were on the slender side in high school, and they put you behind the plate. But there were times when you would catch five innings and then come in and close out a win pitching six and seven. How does somebody do that and not get completely exhausted?
I guess I have to commend myself. I was never, like you said, in high school, I was a small, chunky kid. But I had good endurance, and I think that was my dedication to people are going to think I'm crazy, but I like to run. And, I mean, you can be a little chunky and have good endurance and have good core work. And I don't know, I'd rather have it fall on my shoulders, being able to catch four or five innings and then go in and pitch a couple. It probably put some wear and tear in my arm and my legs down the road. But again, why not want to be in that situation, to be in pressure situations? Because then doing that in high school, that I think that gave me the ability to do that at the next level at college, and then the indie ball, and now professional. It's just that mentality, like we talked about, the underdog, where I like that pressure and I strive in that pressure. And I think I did strive in those situations, because you make it as simple as possible.
What's been the most surreal part about this camp? You know, some of the superstars on this team that you've watched and admired over the years, have you had a run-in with any of the guys on the major league roster, anything that kind of crosses that grid?
Well, walking into camp every day, we actually have to walk past the major league side to get to the minor league side. So we see the likes of Abreu and Todd Frazier and the new signing Brett Lowry and all these guys. Chris Sale, I watched him throw a bullpen the other day, Carson Fulmer, and I get starstruck every now and then. But honestly, I think the two people that I have to take a step back, and now that I get to call them coach, is honestly Willie Harris and Aaron Rowand, solely because they were there when you and I were growing up watching them play. Willie Harris, I have a signed bat of Willie Harris when he was that 05 season, and I have a signed bat, and I have batting gloves from Aaron Rowand. And it's just so surreal to be able to call them coaches now. I joked around with Willie the other day. He was throwing batting practice, and I was on balls and on the bucket in the outfield, and that's what normal pitchers do. That was my job for the day, and I had to keep running the ball bucket up to Willie, who was throwing BP, and every four or five batters, I had to run it up to the net where he was throwing, because so many times he wasn't throwing strikes, and all the balls were at the hitter's feet, and so I had to keep running back and forth to give him the balls, because he was getting so agitated that he couldn't find the zone. So I ran up there. I said, "Willie, man, you need to throw some more strikes. I'm getting tired here running you the balls." And he goes, and what he said back to me probably shouldn't be said on radio. So it was fun. It was, again, being able to call Willie Harris and Aaron Rowan coaches is, it's unreal. I don't know how to describe it.
When you walk into spring training the first day and you're walking around the locker room and you see all the stalls, and I imagine you have some butterflies just walking in there the first time, and then you actually get to your stall with your name and your jersey, your own gear, all your shoes and stuff, and the hats and the practice stuff, what do you think then?
At that point, there's a moment when you sit there and you admire it. And I took a step back and just looked at my locker and said, literally, holy crap, this is real. But then after that couple minutes, you know, it's game time. It's and there's no more look at me, look at this. It's time to grind, and I'm slowly finding out that this really it really is a grind. I have a high respect for those guys that have been in camp for multiple years. I've only been in it a week now, and every early morning 5:30 wake up call, you hope you can hit that snooze button, but that's just not a reality. And those guys that can do that are in this game for a long time. Those I've slowly found out that it's when you're on the field, when you're in the clubhouse, it's time to play baseball, and there's no messing around.
I think enough time has passed. Can we talk about your first pitch as a professional baseball player?
Yeah, my first pitch in professional baseball for the Joliet Slammers over there in Joliet. First pitch, inside fastball, a little bit high. I don't think it's landed yet. It hit the scoreboard in left field, left center field, which is a moonshot at Silver Cross Field. That is probably the deepest part of the park. And the guy, I think it was the nine hitter for the Windy City Thunderbolts, put it off the middle of the scoreboard, which is probably close to 420 feet.
It can only get better from there, though.
Yeah, well, I think the next guy, I either struck out or got a ground out. I think I struck the next guy out and then got the catcher was pretty smart and wanted inside fastballs, and I got a couple rollovers and got three quick outs afterwards. But, yeah, it was definitely a eye-opener. I remember looking and seeing the GM who signed me on there. He was standing behind home up in the concourse, and I remember throwing that pitch, and the first face I saw was his, and he put his hands in his face and shook his head, and I'll never forget that look on his face.
Let's talk about the support we had at home. This is more personal than anything else. I mean, God, Mom came to every game when we were kids. Dad was in the yard with us when we were 3, 4, 5 years old, throwing ground balls at us and making sure that, you know, for me, it was shooting free throws. I had to make 20 free throws before I went to bed. For you, we caught you countless hours. Where would we be, both of us, without Mom and Dad and the support and the love?
It's unreal. It really is. From them packing lunches, the story that I'll never forget. I guess it's not really a story; it's a memory. But Mom and Dad would fight to wake up every morning when we were in high school. They would wake up 10 minutes earlier than each other to make our lunch, and it was getting to a point where Dad would wake up 10 minutes earlier, Mom would wake up 10 minutes earlier, and it got to a point when Mom said, "All right, go ahead and do it, because I'm not waking up at 4 a.m. to make a breakfast." When we left it. What, 7 o'clock for school at Mount Carmel. But God, I don't even want to know what they skipped out on in their lives to make our lives what they are today. So you can put as much on yourself and your success on yourself, but what your parents give to you and what Mom and Dad gave to us was absolutely everything to what I think you and I have accomplished in our 24 and 27 years that we have here.
I'll let you go pretty soon, but I just have to admit something right now. To see you doing what you love and to see you continue to rise, it pushes me. It really does, you know, because I see what you're doing, and then I think, well, it's not about, you know, when we were kids, I always had to be better than you. But now I feel like we're on the same plane where we're in this together, and we're trying to both make them proud.
Yeah, you know, I'd be lying if I didn't if I said that I didn't see the fact that you always try to be better than me, and I think that made me want to be better than you. So it's kind of a two-way street where we almost pushed each other and not knowing it, but we did. And now we are kind of on that same level where we're going down the same path and we're being congratulatory towards each other. Back then, I think you might have made a nudge or a joke to me about something where, hey, I did better than you. And I, to myself, I thought, well, now I got to do better. And growing up, I think it was a push and shove. And now it's kind of more of a complimentary role where you support me, I support you, Mom supports me, Mom supports you, and same thing with Dad. Dad supports everybody. And it's unreal seeing my brother interviewing me in my uniform as a Chicago White Sox, and it's literally, that's goals right there, and that's literally goals.
What's next for you? What's next? What's going to stop you? Is anything going to stop you?
what's next is making a roster out of camp here, and I'd like to think I have a chance. I'm telling myself I have a chance, and there's no looking back. And God forbid, hopefully 10 years from now when I'm done playing baseball, I don't think I'll ever want to leave this sport again. Not that I ever left it, so to say, but I'm never going to want to leave the sport of baseball, whatever that is, whether it's raking a field, claying a mound, or scouting somebody someday. It's whatever I do in the future, it will be revolved around the sport of baseball.
You found your calling. I can't say it enough. Very proud of you. I love you to death. Family and friends keep asking. You know they're following. We're with you every step of the way. Good luck. Keep it up.
Thank you. Love you. Love Mom. Love Dad. And, again, pinch me.